It gives me great pleasure to welcome Mary Halverson to the checkout. I say hello to you from the new school in Greenwich Village.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
You are getting laurels all over the place. In a poll that we participate in, the NPR Jazz Critics Poll, you came in fourth place for your recording, your octet recording, Away With You. You're only 36 years old, and then the other people in the list are like 70 or 80, you know? So that means you must be doing something right in the jazz community.
Well, that's nice. I mean, yeah, you never know, you know, you put out records and you're doing all this stuff. You never really know which ones people are going to like or which ones are going to resonate with people. So, I mean, I was obviously really thrilled with that. And it's great to put something out and have it be heard, you know, more than you might expect it to be. So,
well, let's listen to a little bit of that. Let's just go straight to it. The title track, Away With You. Away With You, the name of Mary Halverson's octet recording. Is that like a way with you, as in shoo, get away from me, or come away with me on a floating celestial cloud of Mary Halverson music, or thundercloud, because your music can get chaotic too?
Well, it's both. I think I like that it was a multiple meaning phrase. And then there's also the third one, which would be, you have a way with somebody, I have a way with you. Kind of three different things it could mean. And maybe it's a little bit of all of them. I kind of like that people can take different interpretations of the music. So I thought that title was appropriate.
And since your stylings on guitar are so varied and sometimes beautiful and serene, and then sometimes very noisy and chaotic, I'm sure you get all kinds of responses when people hear your music.
Yeah, I think that it's that way with everything. You know, some people might hear it and think it's really, really weird, or some people might think it's funny, or some people might think it's super melodic. I mean, you know,
do you think it is? I want to know what Mary Halverson thinks.
I don't think too much about what it is. I think I'm just trying to create music that I think is personal and that I like, and that I think is, you know, I do think a lot about melody and harmony and rhythm, even in the weirder parts. I think I always have those things in my mind. But I guess I try to make music without worrying too much about what the end result is going to be, and try to just take it piece by piece, write something that I like.
Well, let's listen to you in just a complete solo setting so people can get acclimated with this wide range of sound as established in this tune called Platform on your album Melt Frame. And hopefully your brain will melt too. So just take us through this song. And, I mean, are you doing all of these sort of textures and ways of playing the guitar? And you're using many modes of creating music mm-hmm. through the guitar. Are you doing all of this in real time?
Yeah, everything on the solo record was made in real time. And they're all covers in that case. So on Away With You, I wrote all the music. On Melt Frame, they're all covers. So that piece you selected is by the bassist Chris Lightcap. That was a composition of his, which I really liked. And it didn't have guitar in it, the original version. So I tried to arrange it in a way that would make sense on guitar. And the way I arranged it as much more of a kind of rock power chordy thing than the original. So I was trying to honor the shape of the song and the energy of the song, but also make it go in a totally crazy direction.
Are you familiar with a lot of fog banks being from Boston, Massachusetts?
I suppose. I mean, it's certainly a New England experience.
Well, take us there before we listen to your tune Fog Bank.
Okay.
I know you were listening to Jimi Hendrix early on, and I would like to know the Jimi Hendrix song that you either memorized or that you transcribed. What was the Jimi Hendrix composition that overwhelmed you?
Well, I was learning a few of them when I started playing guitar. Little Wing was the one I remember learning the intro to Little Wing, and I had a tablature book, so I was looking at that. I was probably 11 or 12 years old. Purple Haze, of
Well,
course.
Little Wing, let's just do that because the guitar intro is so killer, right?
Yeah,
And you never get to hear
exactly.
Little Wing on a jazz show, so I
Yeah,
think we just have to hear that real quick.
absolutely.
So take us through what did you hear as a kid? What was this the moment that you decided this is what I want to do, more or less?
No, that wasn't it at all. I never thought this is what I would do. I just
I'm going to create a jazz octet and place fourth in the NPR Jazz Critics poll. That's what you plotted.
Oh yeah, right. No way. I mean, I think as a kid I was very practical. I guess I still am, but the idea of having some kind of a career in music, it didn't even occur to me. It wasn't like I thought about it and then disregarded the idea, that just the idea never occurred to me.
What did you think you would do?
I don't think I wasn't one of those kids that knew from the beginning, but I think I thought I would have some kind of job in science. I liked biology. And when I went to college, that's what I intended to study, was biology. So music for me was just, it was fun. It was a hobby. I didn't take it too seriously.
Which was where in college?
Wesleyan University.
Right. And that's when you met Anthony Braxton.
Exactly. So
Got
that's
it.
when the wheels started turning.
And so, was there a moment when you were studying biology at Wesleyan and where just the music gods just said, no, you're not going to do that anymore?
I was taking a bunch of science classes, and I was taking a bunch of classes with Anthony Braxton, and then it got to a point where I dropped one of the science classes and I started getting more involved in the music. And then at a certain point, I guess I realized I was in too deep and I had to just go for it.
All right. Well, let's listen to you in an hour long, just a snippet. We're not going to listen to the whole hour, but we'll listen with you with Anthony Braxton. Here it is, just a little excerpt. So take us to a point in this hour-long performance that you think is interesting, at least from a compositional standpoint, because Anthony Braxton is all about like advanced theory, let's just say, and explain in simple terms that a radio audience can sort of understand what's going on here.
So this is Anthony Braxton 12 plus 1 tet. This is some of his music, which he calls ghost trance music, which is a pulse-based music, which has varying degrees of it'll accelerate and decelerate, and there's all kinds of things happening. So it's sort of in its root form, starting with a basic pulse, and then from there, going in lots of crazy directions, and then expanding that to include smaller groups within the ensemble breaking off to play other compositions of his. There's also a lot of cue hand signals, which are cueing different languages from his music. And it's sort of this democratic structure where Anthony is conducting everyone and anyone, but also there are section leaders, so maybe three or four people within the ensemble conducting their own groups of three or four people. So it's this multi-layered thing, which it's seeing it live, you can kind of get this more than you can from the recording, just how much different stuff is happening and different music being cued in and tons of improvisation as well. So it's really, it's not even like learning a piece of music. It's like learning a whole system to play his music, which is basically what I did when I was studying with him.
Anthony Braxton's Ghost Trance music featuring Mary Halverson. Anthony Braxton is a kind of elusive character, and he doesn't really give a lot of media interviews. Mm-hmm. But here you've spent so much time with him, and he's probably imparted all kinds of deep wisdom mm-hmm. and just knowledge, not only of just about music, but probably life. What are some of the lessons Braxton gave you, whether you're in school or now, that have remained true to you, at least?
Well, probably the most important thing, and maybe it sounds simple, but at the time, I just didn't really know. But basically, what he was encouraging everyone to do was to make mistakes. Just try anything and make mistakes. And, you know, if you're not making a mistake, there's something wrong. And you can try anything. There aren't any limits to what you can do within music. Or maybe it's not even just music. Maybe it's music plus something else. But just this idea that there's a wide open palette for you to do whatever you want. And encouraging people to explore without worrying that they're going to fall on their face and he's going to judge you for that, because he won't.
So, all right, so now you have to tell us what the most embarrassing Mary Halverson moment is then.
Musically?
That can mean anything. It could be a one music, one life.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure there's many musical things I've done that I haven't been 100% proud of.
Or, well, maybe on record, so we actually can hear you mess up.
Well...
We all know you're good, so it's not a reflection of you.
No, I know.
I don't know. And what makes it a mistake? Because obviously in jazz music, mm-hmm. let's just be frank, it's very difficult for listeners to mm-hmm. discern what is a mistake mm-hmm. in the first place. And Charles Mingus or whoever would argue it's not a mistake at all. Probably Anthony Braxton would say the same.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's sort of the point, that something that... I guess it's more the idea of being afraid of mistakes is going to put you in a... space of mind where you aren't experimenting, because you have this fear of mistakes, when actually, and obviously, you know, Anthony isn't the only one that said this, but when you make a mistake, it can be a happy mistake, and then something totally different comes out of that. And I'll definitely use that approach where sometimes I'll hit a wrong note by accident, and then if I'm writing some music or something, and then that sounds better than what I intended, and then I'll go with that.
Do you think that's maybe your, like, subconscious, like, coming out? So it's actually a choice, you just didn't know it?
Could be, but in some cases, no. In some cases, I just hit the wrong string or whatever. But, you know, you can build a whole technique, you know, a new technique on the instrument.
So maybe there's a point on a recording where this happened in the process. Does anything come to mind?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of quote-unquote mistakes on my recordings where I intended to play one thing and I played another. And I've never been a real perfectionist in that way. So, you know, if I do two takes of a song and one of them there's a lot of mistakes, but the energy is better, Unless it's something glaring where it's clearly not acceptable. But I tend to go with the one that has the better energy.
That's Fog Bank, Mary Halverson and her octet from her recording Away With You from Firehouse 12 Records. Mary Halverson on guitar, Susan Alcorn, pedal steel guitar, Jonathan Finlayson, John Arabigan, Ingrid Lawbrook, Jacob Garchik, John Hebert, and Chez Smith. And before that, we heard Mary Halverson with her musical mentor, Anthony Braxton, from 2006, 9 compositions recorded at the Iridium, composition number 350, part 1. We thank Mary Halverson, for joining us on this edition of The Checkout. If you want to follow what we're doing here on this show or at WBGO in general, definitely look us up on our Facebook pages and make sure to follow us on Twitter too. The handle at Checkout Jazz, at WBGO. I'm at Simon Rentner. I would like to give a special thanks to our production intern, Jasmine Murray. Also, a thanks to Sarah Gilletti. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.